Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now we continue our program on the Book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers from Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry.
And they realized, you know, that after so many years, their schedule would be out of sync with the solar system here in the universe. So what they would do after so many years, they'd kick in an extra month and call it non-year. Non-year. But we, from our understanding, have to look at it from a solar calendar system. According to our way of reckoning, and nations later on, everything, as to when it would be that he made that entrance, according to our understanding. And there was a Scotland Yard detective a number of years ago, who was a committed Christian and a student of the Word of God. And he researched and researched and researched and researched on this. And he began to notice, because of the different calendar systems, in order for us to understand from the solar system of reckoning time, when Jesus made that triumphal entry and everything, and then was cut off with a violent death, we can't look at it of how many months and things like that. We have to figure out how many days were involved between this time and the time that Messiah would enter into the world or make his presentation to Israel. And he came to the conclusion that you have to count off 173,880 days. 173,880 days from the time that Artaxerxes issued this decree in March of 445 B.C. And after you count up all those days, that's the time when Messiah would be here, officially presented himself to the nation of Israel. And counting that up, that brings you to the spring of 32 A.D., the spring season of 32 A.D., that Jesus officially presented himself to the nation of Israel as Messiah through his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on the back of the foal of a donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Now, and again, you might want to look at Zechariah 9:9, but then there's another thing. What's interesting is this. New Testament chronology confirms this. It confirms this. The man, the Scotland Yard detective, when he added this all up, pointed out it came to the spring of 32 A.D., at least that season of the year, when Jesus would do this. When you go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. Luke, who did a lot of historical research, you know, when you look at chapter 1 of Luke, he says to his writers, I investigated everything carefully concerning Jesus Christ because I want everything to be absolutely accurate and not mythology and everything about him. And Luke tells us in Luke chapter 3 that John the Baptist began his ministry in Israel in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar's reign. Of Tiberius Caesar's reign. He states that very clearly. In the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar's reign, obviously over the Roman Empire, this is when John the Baptist began his ministry. Well, according to ancient Roman records, the first year of Tiberius Caesar's reign was 14 A.D., 14 A.D. That's the time he came to the throne as Caesar over the Roman Empire, in 14 A.D. Now, when you take that as year one of his reign, and you count up to his 15th year of his reign, that brings you to 28 A.D., 28 A.D., with the year 14 being the first year of his reign. You count, that's number one, you count up to 15, that brings you to 28 A.D., that John the Baptist began his ministry you know, baptizing people and telling people in Israel, repent, repent, you know, of your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's future kingdom is at hand because the Messiah who can set it up is here. If you'll meet the spiritual requirement of repentance, of your rebellion against God. Now, obviously, John the Baptist already had a ministry going before he baptized Jesus, before he baptized Jesus. And if he began, and language, New Testament scholars say some of the messages that John the Baptist presented were based on spring season of the year, agriculturally. And so they come to the conclusion that John began his ministry in the spring of this particular year, in the spring and everything of this particular year. And it would be in the spring of 28 AD that he began his ministry. Well, now that he'd been ministering probably for several months, he must have had that ministry before he baptized Jesus. And there was a church bishop, Epiphanius, on the island of Cyprus, around the early 300s AD, that claimed that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in November of 28 AD. That John the Baptist baptized Jesus in November of 28 AD. And we know from the gospel accounts, it's right after John baptized Jesus that Jesus began his ministry. Now, you can follow that like in Matthew and the other gospels. Right after John baptized him, apparently in November 28 AD, Jesus began his ministry. Now, we also know from the gospels that Jesus, once he began his ministry, was here for four Passovers. For four Passovers. And of course, the Passover was always in the spring. Was always in the spring. Okay, so John baptized Jesus in the fall of 28 AD. The first Passover of Jesus' ministry would have been in the spring of 29. The second Passover, the spring of 30. The third Passover, the spring of 31. And the fourth Passover of Jesus' ministry would be in the spring of 32 AD. Of 32 AD. And then what the Bible indicates here then, that was in the spring of 32 AD that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem and officially presented himself to the people of Israel as its promised Messiah. As its promised Messiah. And you know, when you read the Gospels, Jesus had been ministering for an extended period of time, actually for about 3 years plus several more months, according to the Gospel. He had been doing that ministry before he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Because, you know, he made his triumphal entry less than a week before he was cut off with a violent death, cut off with a violent death through crucifixion. Interestingly, Epiphanius, the church leader and everything, who said that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in November 28 AD, he went on to indicate, Epiphanius said, that Christ died in the spring of 32 AD, around the Passover time in the spring of 32 AD, which is exactly what Daniel 9 was indicating here, that beginning with the decree, a Medo-Persian decree, to build the defense wall around Jerusalem, and you count off the first 483 years, that's when Messiah would be here, present himself to Israel as its king. But then the Hebrew text of Daniel 9 says, and then Messiah will be cut off with a violent death, is what the Hebrew text says. After he makes his triumphal entry in Jerusalem in the spring of 32 AD, he'll be cut off with a violent death. That's exactly what the Hebrew says in the Hebrew text of Daniel chapter 9. And that's exactly what happened. Less than a week after Jesus made his triumphal entry in Jerusalem, officially presented himself to the nation as its Messiah, its Prince, its future King and everything else. Jesus was crucified. He was crucified. And so the New Testament chronology agrees with the Old Testament chronology here of Daniel chapter 9. And so that it was in the spring of 32 AD that Jesus made his triumphal entry, and then he was cut off with a violent death. And so the fifth thing we're seeing here is the time when Messiah would be present, and starting with Artaxerxes' decree in March 445 BC, counting off 173,880 days, it takes you right to the spring of 32 AD when Jesus made his triumphal entry and then was cut off with a violent death. Now, the sixth major thing we have to see, and we've already stated this, is that Messiah would be cut off with a violent death. And that's what the Hebrew text clearly says about him. That Messiah, and what it literally says too, the Hebrew says, and Messiah will have nothing. He'll have nothing. The implication is he won't have what he deserved to have from the people of Israel. As their Messiah, their future king, he deserved to have a gold crown on his head as king. Instead, he was given a crown of thorns, symbol of rejection. You are not our king. You're not our Messiah. As the Messiah, he should have been given a royal throne to sit upon. They gave him a cross to be crucified upon. And as the Messiah, he should have been given royal robes to wear. They stripped him of his clothing. They stripped him of his clothing. And they scourged him till his back was bleeding. They beat his face. You know, Isaiah chapter, right before chapter 32 and everything, says that his face would be beaten so severely it wouldn't even resemble a human face anymore whatsoever. And so that he wasn't given what he deserved to be given by his people of Israel. And that's what the Hebrew language is saying here in this 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 about him. So he'd be cut off with a violent death. Now, what's interesting to note is that Jerusalem and the temple, we're told, would be destroyed in the future by a certain people after the first 483 years. That after the first 483 years, Jerusalem and the temple that they rebuilt after they returned home from their Babylonian captivity would be destroyed by a certain people after the first 483 years of the prophecy would be completed. That's in verse 26. Now, what's interesting is this. That prophecy was fulfilled, but not immediately after Messiah was cut off with a violent death. That part of the prophecy of Daniel 9 was fulfilled in 70 AD, several decades after Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. But it's foretold here that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed by a certain group of people after the first 483 years of this prophecy would be completed, verse 26. And it's a fact of history that Jerusalem was besieged by the Romans beginning in the mid-60s AD and was finally leveled to the ground together with the temple in 70 AD.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Dr. Reynolds Showers, who went over the book of Daniel at a recent prophecy conference here at IBJM. And we invite you to come back tomorrow as we will continue our series on the book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers. For more information, you can contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150 or go to our website at ibjm.org for more information. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.